before we begin, Chair, could I just make a point for the record, and then we can move on. And the point is this. I mean, we are here today to meet the department and to deal not only with the department's strategic plan, but also with the department's budget and the appropriation of about 37 billion rand, which we will vote on tomorrow. And my problem is this, Chair. It is not possible to deal with particularly the budget in one session of 2 hours. If one looks at other committees, such as the police committee, police committee had
can we start the meeting, sir? Because now you are going to the deliberation of the day. We have not yet come to that.
Chair, this is a point of process.
Yes, I understand, but let us do the procedure of the meeting first.
Well, my point is that the procedure or the parliamentary program is fundamentally flawed. You cannot deal with a 37 billion rand budget in 2 hours. This committee should have scheduled at least 8 hearings. That would be 1 hearing per program of the budget. That is my point, Chair, and it is something that this committee needs to look at seriously and deal with in the next parliamentary cycle. Thank you.
Honourable members, thank you for the opportunity that I have been given by the chairperson of this portfolio committee. I'm welcoming everybody that is present here. I'll also give over to the department, Dr. S. Golube, to introduce his delegation for the deliberation of the day.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. I will go ahead, but before we start, I would just like to apologize on behalf of Minister of Defense and Military Veterans, Honourable Minister Sulu, for not being able to be with the delegation this morning due to the funeral of the Honourable Minister Roy Sadayaki. She personally wanted to be with the members of the committee this morning, especially because in addition to the budget vote of the Department of Defense and Military Veterans, as well as the presentation of the Defense Secretary's Annual Performance Plan, we had planned to present the progress that we have made in the Department of Defense and Military Veterans with the resolution of the audit finding. And she felt very strongly that accounting to Parliament on the resolution of the audit finding was her responsibility and her priority. And she requested that we place on the agenda that item for the next meeting, which is envisaged to take place next Tuesday. At this point in time, then, Honorable Chairperson, allow me to introduce the delegation. My name is Dr. Sam Golube. I'm the Secretary for Defense. And I will then request the members of the delegation to introduce themselves and the portfolio that they have in the department. Thank you.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Zwonge Kabantu. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the department.
I'm Major General Ivino Chweleka, Chief Director, Defense Acquisition Management within Defense Material Division under the Defense Secretariat. Thank you.
morning, members. My name is Thobekile Kamede. I'm Chief Defense Policy Strategy and Planning in the Defense Secretary.
President and members of the committee, good morning. I'm Gloria Spellman. I'm the Chief Internal Auditor or Chief Audit Executive of the department.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Major General Ziki Memela Mutumi. I'm the Deputy Chief of Human Resources in the DOD.
Good morning, members. I'm Brigadier General Peter Silwani, Acting Chief Director, HR Strategic Direction and Policy. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Rear Admiral Alan Green. I'm the Chief of Military Policy, Strategy and Planning.
Good morning, members of Parliament. My name is Dumisani Zata. I am Chief Director of Strategic Management in the Defense Secretariat.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Raymond Nigel. I'm the Director of Material Governance, representing Defense Supply Chain Integration.
Thank you, honorable chairperson. That's the delegation of the department here this morning.
Thank you very much from the department. Honorable members and the delegation from the Department of Defense, we've got visitors, the new South African citizens. They are sitting there. Today they are with us. You are welcome. And we want to assure you from this department and this portfolio committee that you are safe in our hands, and we love you. We hope that we listen and hear the deliberations and see to it that this Department of Defense, they've got many, many opportunities for the young kids, for this new generation to take over and be part of South Africa, so that we can all of us live in a safe and sound South Africa. You are welcome. Thank you very much for coming here. Honorable members, let us start with the, there are two presentations today. One presentation is a presentation of votes, budget votes, 22 Department of Defense and Military Veterans, that is going to be led by the Secretary for Defense. That is the first one. And the second one will be the presentation of the Defense Secretariat Annual Performance Plan for 2012. That is also going to be led by the Secretary for Defense. Over to you, Secretary.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I must concur with the honorable member, meaning that it's difficult to deal with the whole budget in 2 hours, or maybe in this particular case, 1 hour that's allocated to us. But also to assure the members that the department is available at any time to discuss this budget, and that I know that the honorable was talking about the budget being presented tomorrow, but I thought you were presenting next week, Thursday. So maybe there will be any invitation from the committee to come back to continue discussions and presentations on the budget. The department stands ready. We are at your disposal. At this point in time, I would ask the...
Just on a point of order? Chair, I just want to be clear that my criticism in respect of the hearings on the budget are not directed towards the department, they're directed towards Parliament and the functioning of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and apologies for being paranoid. Thank you very much, We will ask the Chief Financial Officer to take us through the budget vote for the year 2012-2013. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I'm sorry for interrupting. Probably before Ubudkila starts, can I ask you where the reason that some of the soldiers in your delegation are not in their uniform?
It's for interesting.
The Department of Defense and Military Veterans really structured in this manner, if I may just explain, Honorable Chairperson. At the ministry level, the Ministry of Defense and Military Veterans, so both under the ministry, two departments, Department of Military Veterans, different departments owned by them. Unfortunately, they don't have its budget vote now, but the idea, according to the Act, is that it will have its own budget vote. And then you have the Department of Defense. Now, within the Department of Defense, you have two components in the Department of Defense. You have one, the Secretariat, we call it SC Council, Secretariat Council, which is headed by the accounting officer, the Secretary of Defense. And then you have the South African National Defense Force. South African National Defense Force is totally different, separate from the Secretariat. Those are the armed forces governed by a separate act, even in terms of their employment by the South African Defense Act, whereas in the Secretariat we are governed by the Public Service Act, and the members of the Defense Force are governed by the Defense Act in terms of their employment. So then you will have the members of the Defense Force who are in uniform, and the members of the Secretariat who do not have to be in uniform, but some of them are in uniform. So next time I'll make sure that I get my uniform, but I don't think it will fit me now because it was long ago. But the Secretariat here is the civilian component of the Department of Defense. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the Portfolio Committee. I will be presenting. I'll be presenting the budget for Vote 22 for the year for the MDF period 2012-13. Largely related to the Department of Defense. The vote itself consists of two departments. It's defense, and there is also an allocation for military veterans. The details of what they then do would then be dealt with by that accounting officer of that department. I will be covering the aim of the presentation, introduction, and then analysis of the budget information. Starting with the consolidated departmental budget, which is the whole vote, and then we go to the detailed program analysis. We will also look at baseline reductions, revenue conclusion, and then that will be the end of the presentation. As I indicated, the aim is to present to the Portfolio Committee on Defense the Military Veterans, which is Vote 22, for the MDF 2012-13, the estimate of national expenditures was tabled by the Minister of Finance earlier in the year. We start with the process, probably the end process of the engagement for the soliciting of the budget, which resulted out of a number of engagements and the outcomes of the discussions relating to the pressures and the requirements, etc. Our budget for our final allocation for the year under review, or the period under review, is 37.4 billion in 2012-13, 39.9 billion in the year 2013-14, and 42.3 billion in the year 2014-15, which is the third year of the MTF period that is under discussion. This is an adjustment from the initial allocation, as was indicated in previous MTF allocations, of 67.3 billion for the first year, 39.7 billion for the second year, and 42.1 billion for the year under review, which is the escalated amount. When we discussed the outcomes of our discussions with Treasury, was that we received additional funding in the following areas: salary improvements, strategic defense, procurement, military ombudsman, and border safeguarding. And the amounts are illustrated in the presentation, slide number 4. Simultaneously, out of the discussion, there were reductions that were imposed by the budget structures of government, largely aimed at reducing the allocation, the allocation that was made for the MSGS, and therefore reducing the growth that would have been anticipated at the time. And the net effect and savings in health and protection function of a small amount. And the net effect of those reductions was a reduction of half a billion in 2012-13, half a billion in 2013-14, 663 billion in the 2014-15 financial year. We anticipate that we will still have further discussions in the upcoming MTFs around some of these areas and the priorities that we seek to be funded. Next slide. This slide is a short slide. I will not spend time on it, but it just reflects, indicates the historically, the changes that have been, that the effect of the changes over the years, resulting from baseline reductions, most of which were imposed by the financial difficulties and pressures which emanate from the global problems. If you recall, this, the effect in South Africa started to be felt in 2008-09, although there were indications 7 and 8 of what was impending as Europe started to suffer. And those are the cumulative effects of what those baseline reductions are over the years. I think the importance of this slide is that with the projections going forward and the indications that we are, none of the countries of the world are out of the woods and are anticipated to be out of the woods anytime soon, it requires that then for we understand that austerity measures will remain in addition, I think, for the country, in spite of the priorities that need to be addressed. The next slide shows the allocation, the main program of the vote. We show 2011-12 as a base year, and then show the growth, the movement of the allocations that emanate from the MTF period that we are talking about. This budget increases from 34.3 billion in the year that we have just passed to 37 billion in the first year of the MTF, to 40 billion in the third year, 42 billion in the third year of the upcoming MDF, which is an annual average of about 7.75%. The financial year 2012-13 using that as a base, the allocation to defense is standing at 1.2 billion of the projected GDP for the same period. I think we want to note the projected GDP because at the end of the year, you may then do the calculations and determine exactly what GDP ended up being. But it's always been around 1.2 billion over time. Force employment increases due to additional allocation for border safeguarding. You will see landward defense increasing also because of the renewal projects in that program. Procurement of ammunition, largely, and maintenance of operational vehicles. You will also see that maritime defense increases generally over the MTF due to maintenance and repair of frigates and submarines, as well as provisions for hydrographic and offshore patrol vessels. You will also note that between the year that has just passed and the year that we're talking about, there's been a small reduction, but generally the amounts are fairly even between the 2 years. General support increased due to budget baseline adjustments of defense work formation and the non-recurrent provision in 2012-13 that related to the planned write-off of the unauthorized expenditure that was sitting in the debtors of the department that emanated from the 1997-98 overexpenditure as a result of the integration processes, which was then not recommended by SCOPA for additional allocation, and therefore, in line with PFMA, it was then the responsibility of the accounting officer to ensure that it forms the first charge against allocations in coming years. We started to do so in 2011-12, when it was clear that we were not going to be able to recover that. And this, next slide. If you look at the economic classification, you will see that compensation of employees in the constitute 50.6%, while goods and services amounts to 29.8% of the total budget. The balance, which is about 19%, is for others, which is transfers and payment for capital assets. We must note that in the transfer, the portion that relates to the special defense account constitute also a large portion of capital expenditure in it. Increases in compensation of employees provide for the military and reserve for salary dispensation that was implemented, as well as average salary increases as determined by the guidelines issued by National Treasury, which in the year was 5%, and average pay progression of 1.5 to 2% allocated annually during April and July of each year, depending on what the outcomes of the bargaining arrangements are. Relatively low growth in goods and services due to decreases in MSDS, as I have indicated earlier. Increases in transfers and subsidies are related to the development and delivery of milestones of the armament acquisition, while the payment for assets increased due to procurement of logistical support vehicles for the army. One-off provision, as I've indicated, of 337 in the year 2012-13 has been made to ensure that we finally get rid of that historical unauthorized expenditure on our books. If you look at the transfer payments, which is transferred to other entities, the biggest one is the special defense account, which represents nearly 5.3 billion in the first year of the coming MTF, coming down from 5.6 billion in the 2011-12 financial year. The next, and it grows to 7.57 in the third year of the MTF. AMSCO allocation, 914.7 million, 966.9 million, and 1.030 billion in the third year of the MTF. Allocation to facilitator, with the next one being the spending on the household, which relates to historical pensions and some other issues that are for the benefits of either serving or old outside members. And provision it's issues related to conditions of service and welfare of the force members. Department of Military Veterans, which is in the current year for the first time a transfer payment. In previous years, you will recall it constituted a sub-program within program one of the defense department. It's 51.2 in the first year, 50.9 in the second year, and 53.4. It's a fairly new department being established. I'm sure there will be opportunities to have further engagements. And this largely covers the operational expenditure for running the Department of Military Veterans. The initial decrease in the transfer of special defense accounts is due to moving of funds within the air defense program from armaments acquisition to the maintenance of air capability. The increase in the transfer payment to AMSCO is due to additional allocation provided by Sea Navy to ensure sustainability of the Naval Dockyard and the Institute of Maritime Technology. As I indicated, DMV now constitute a transfer payment, and then they spend the money on their own books and account for, expected to account therefore separately for their expenditure. We'll look at the revenue. Generally, the revenue over the MTF is expected to increase from 784 million to 798 in the second year, and 814 in the third year. In the year that has passed, you will see that it shows an extraordinary collection, and that is because of the once-off abnormal collection of the money that relates to the Airbus that was recovered during the year. Otherwise, we'll anticipate that our revenue will go at the rates that we have indicated. If we then go to program spending, program one consists of a number of sub-programs from ministry, departmental direction to military veterans as a transfer payment in the year under review. On a comparative basis, while constituting the expenditure for the department, the military veterans last year was allocated 45.4 million, 51.2 million, as I have indicated, in the first year of the MTF, and goes to 53 million. I think with the exception, the budget increases from 3.7 billion in the first year to 2.73 billion the increase from last year, which is the year that just finished, grows from 3.7 to 3.73, which is fairly stable between the 2 years, and then grows to 4 billion in the second year of the coming MTF and 4.2 billion. These increases are really fairly within the inflation. They reflect difficult immigration of 5.5% in total. Increases in ministry are due to additional allocation for the establishment of the military ombudsman. Increase in the departmental direction is due to the function shift of supply chain office, while in the inspection service it is due to provision for closing down audits. In the SANDF command and control, it's due to staffing of organizational structure at the DOD HQ unit to increase also the ability to enhance command and control and increase accountability. Decrease in opposition services due to function shift of supply chain office. And in the office accommodation is due to the utilization of the accommodation charges funding to establish the defense works formation, which is an agreement that is at the start of the engagement with public works to finally allow defense to have the capabilities and utilize the capabilities with the efficiencies that are expected in dealing with its facilities, maintenance and upgrade. In the next slide shows the economic classification, which largely can be reflected in terms of the analysis, but I think there are two main issues that we can reflect on them. The decrease in goods and services reflects the decreased accommodation charges being utilized for defense work formation, as has been indicated before. And then increase in transfers and subsidies reflects the transfer payment that has now been changed from normal expenditure in respect of the military veterans, and an increased provision for the solicitor based on the department's increased payroll, and that's a statutory determined allocation, which is which increases or decreases depending on the payroll itself. Next slide. For employment, which consists of strategic direction, operational direction, special operations, regional security, support to people, and defense capabilities. Fair increases over the MTF itself. This budget increases from 2.33 in the year that has passed to 2.6 in the first year of the MTF that were to discuss, to 2.96 billion in the second year of the MTF, and 3.2 billion in the third year, which averages about 12.4%. This increase largely is caused by increase in the special operations due to provide for the development of acquisition of specialized equipment used by special forces. Increase in support to the people is due to additional allocation for border safeguarding. And then the decrease in the capability management from the year, between the year that has just passed to the first year of the MTF is due to exercise shared accord which took place in that particular year. So it's a once-off event. So go to the economic classification. We will see that compensation again constitutes a large portion. It's driven by people. It's a people-driven program. The initial decrease and later increase in transfers of subsidies are due to delivery and development of milestones in each of the year related to the specialized equipment used by the special forces, as I have indicated before. The increases in compensation of employees and goods and services are related to the additional allocation received that relates to the border safeguarding. Then what? Defense? Increases from 11.3 billion in the year that has just passed to 12.68 billion in the first year of the MDF that we're discussing. and to 14.25 billion on the third year of the MTF, and this represents an average growth of about 8.6%. The decrease in strategic direction is mainly due to rollout of CalMIS system in 2011-12, which amounted to 105. The increase in infantry capability due to extension of the development plan of the new generation infantry combat vehicle and the new generation operational supply support vehicle system, and an increase in the artillery capability sub-program also is due to delivery of milestones that relate to what was targeted, what was planned for artillery target engagement systems. Increase in air defense artillery capability, particularly between the year that passed and the first year of the MTF, is due mainly to milestones of the artillery target engagement system. And the increases in the air defense artillery is due to delivery milestones of the shoulder launched air defense artillery system. An increase in support capability is due to provision for transport of redundant assets to be disposed of, and also procurement of ammunition and the parachutes, replacement of logistic support vehicles, and the delivery of milestones of the mobile and rapid redeployable mass feeding system. We look at the economic classification. Landward defense is also a personnel-driven program with compensation constituting the largest portion of the expenditure in this program. The increases, the changes are as follows. The increase in payment for capital assets due to the replacement of the logistical support vehicles. The trend in transfer and subsidies due to delivery milestones of the artillery target engagement system showed a launched defense artillery and mobile ground missiles programs. And the goods and services are affected by the reduction in the MSDS intakes. As I said, the compensation for this budget, for this program, I think that's by design, largely, is 65.5%. If we go to air defense, constitutes of the sub-programs as listed in the presentation, goes from 6.3 billion to 6.7 in the first year of the MDF, to 7.2 billion in the second year of the MTF, and 7.7 billion in the third year. I think there is a Kremlin that copied the total budget. But this average is fairly, it shows a fair increase, with the biggest growth being between the year that passed and the current year, and then a slight drop, and then the third year of the MTF is almost at the current level. And that's largely relating to the spending on capital. Increase in transport and maritime capabilities due to planned upgrades of the Falcon 900 project and to increase serviceability of the C-130 aircraft capability. The increase in the command and control capability is due to the delivery of milestones and replacements of aircraft rescue and fire vehicle projects, while the decrease in the helicopter capability is due to delivery of milestones related to the replacement of the aircraft rescue and fire vehicle projects. The decrease in the increase in the operational support and intelligence capability is due to the implementation of the protection system at Air Force bases, units, and the deployed elements. If you look at the economic classification, with personal goods and services constituting the current payments, these increase from 4.4 billion in the year that passed to 4.8 billion in the first year. Slight decrease for the second year of to 4.6 billion. And that decrease is largely in the goods and services environment. And then an increase to 3 billion in the third year of the MDR. And a decrease in the goods and services during the latter part of the period is due to the huge aircraft maintenance requirements while investing in aircraft development to transfer payments to special defense account for the year 2013 and 2014, which is the 2 years plus 2 years of the MDR period. Go to the maritime, consists of mainly five sub-programs as outlined in the presentation. It grows from 2.56 billion in the year that has just passed to 2.5, it reduces as I indicated before in the first year, and then grows to 2.7 billion in the first year, in the second year of the MTF, and 3.1 billion in the third year, which averages about 8.2% over the MTF period. Increase in the maritime logistics support capabilities due to the planned recruitment and staffing of personnel with scarce skills such as divers, technicians, engineers, as well as the replacement of the hydrographic vessels. The increase in the maritime combat capability during the latter part of the MDM period is largely due to provisions for the placement of the offshore and inshore patrol vessels and procurement of new harbor tanks. 2012-13 shows a decrease of 13.37 million, which is largely a reflection of the share of the reduction that I had alluded to at the beginning relating to the MSDS allocation. In terms of the economic classification, current payments compensation and goods and services increased from 2.1 billion to 2.169 for the first year of the MTF and grew slightly to 2.2 billion in the second year and remains almost level for the third year with a slight increase to 2.28 billion. Transfers and subsidies, which largely are dominated by the transfer to the transfer payment related to the special defense account, decreases in the first year from the allocation of based on the year that it has just passed, to 3.48, which is this. And then grows again to 4.88 billion, and grows to 4.88 million, and grows to 897 million for the last year of the MTF. And this decrease in payment for capital, the decrease in the payment for capital is due to gradual downscaling of the infrastructure upgrade in Simonstown and not replacing or procuring passenger motor vehicles, while the transfers and subsidy trends reflect liver milestones of the SDPs, while the increases in 2013-14 and 2014-15 are due to the provisions for the replacement of the offshore and inshore patrol vessels, procurement of new harbor tanks, and the replacement of the hydrographic vessels. It is also largely dominated by compensation. Military health consists of 7 sub-programs, starting with strategic direction as outlined in the presentation. It grows from 3.2 billion in the, from 3.2 billion to 3.3 billion for the first year of the coming MTF, and further to 3.5 billion in the second year, 3.6 billion in the third year, which is a fairly flat to almost declining increase over the period. Increase in specialized tertiary health services due to planned appointments of personnel with scarce skills and acquisition of medical and surgical equipment. The increase in the mobile military health support sub-program is mainly due to the initiation of the defense against chemical and biological warfare projects. Increase in the military health product support capabilities due to repair and replacement of operational ambulances. Decreases primarily related to the 21 million budget cut that has been reflected when we started with the presentation. Look at the economic classification. Current payments which consist of compensation of employees in goods and services grows slightly from 3.2 billion to 3.3 billion in the first year of the MTF and to 3.4 billion in the second and 3.6 billion in the third year of the MTF. This is a fairly flat increase as we have indicated before. The reasons for this relate to some of the areas that have already been covered, which also includes the for the goods and services reduction in the MSDS intakes, an increase in the transfer and subsidies due to initiation of a defense against the same reason that I've already given before. As I indicate, it is also largely dominated by compensation, and therefore it is personal driven. As is usually the case, Chair, when you get a defense intelligence, you say nothing. The budget is fairly flat and increases from 661.6 million. In the year that has just passed, to 709 million in the first year of the MTF, to 740 in the second year, to 778 in the third year, which is average, which is fairly flat, and average is 5.9% over the period. We go to general support, which consists of five sub-programs, as indicated in the slide. It grows from 4.1 billion in the year, from the year that has just passed, to 5.07 in the first year of the MTF, and then slightly reduced to 4.977. In the second year of the MTF, and then is anticipated to go to 5.2 billion in the third year. The increase in command and management information systems is due to provision for research and development of new generation telecommunication systems, while the decrease in technology development is largely due to the gradual completion of the technology projects. Each of the years is reflective of what would have been anticipated in terms of the cash flows relating to specific projects, which then come to an end and therefore have an effect of reducing the baseline. Increase in the departmental support in 2012-13 is largely due, if you look at that, is largely due to the provision that was made to write off the unauthorized expenditure of 300 million, and you can see that it goes around 700, 757, 8448 41 over the MTF, except for that one allocation in 2012, which is an extraordinary allocation that relates to that write-off. Otherwise, it is, as indicated, an increase that is like fairly stable over the period. If we look at current payments, which constitute compensation and goods and services, the increase is from 2.9 billion in the year that passed to 3.5 billion in the first year, to 3.7 billion and 3.9 billion in the last year of the MTF. And these increases largely, and the fluctuations themselves are in goods and services. We also reflect the payment for the unauthorized expenditure of 227. Lastly, the decrease in payment of capital assets is due to completion of the AFB water growth upgrade, and the decrease in transfers and subsidies is related to the decreases that relate to the technology development projects that have been reflected as coming to an end, anticipated to be coming to an end or reducing in expenditure. The one-off provision for payment for financial assets is the write-off that we have reflected. In conclusion, Chair, I think largely I have sought to exclude anything that is covered in the strategic plan and look at only those that are critical risks that relate to financial management. The rise in fuel and the volatility of exchange rates remain risks that will always impact on the execution of our project, of our projects, and largely in the coming years, the execution of the borderline control, because it requires the use of transport, the impact on training in SA Army as well, South and SA Navy and supporting divisions. It will also, it always remain a risk that has an impact on operating budget due to envisaged price increases of a wide range of commodities, which themselves are directly affected by the fluctuations in these indices. We reflect them as risks and areas that, if they change significantly, they effectively affect their capabilities to achieve all the objectives. We confirm, Chair, that the budget for 2012 on these estimates of defense expenditure is aligned with the Department's strategic plan and annual performance plan. With those words, Chair, I would like to thank you and the members.
Thank you, Chief Officer of Finance. Honorable members, we'll continue with the second presentation. In the meantime, I would like honorable members to make notes and list your questions, because if we open it up now, it will won't make the second presentation. I'm sure the department will be cautious also, looking at the time, so that the members can have enough time to engage with the two presentations. Over to you, Sector.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I also want to thank the Chief Financial Officer for the presentation, that I'm sure will stimulate Robert. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member Dr. Mlangeni. I was thanking the Chief Financial Officer for the presentation that I hope will stimulate the necessary debate and discussion that this budget deserves. We will then, Honorable Chairperson, go ahead with the presentation of our annual performance plan. If I can have the slide, please. The presentation on our annual performance plan will look at the aim of this plan. We'll talk to the legislative requirements. In other words, how do we design this plan? What guides us when we design this plan for the next coming year? We will first look at the executive authority's overarching strategic statement for this financial year 2012-2013. And then address the Defense Secretariat annual performance plan. The aim then is to first present the executive authority's overarching annual strategic statement for 2012-2013 and the Defense Secretariat annual performance plan for this coming financial year to the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans. Why are we here? We are here because we are required by the Treasury regulation that each year the accounting officer of the department must ensure that the department has an annual performance plan covering the budget year and the medium-term expenditure framework. The National Treasury Framework for Strategic Plan also requires us to produce a table of this annual performance plan, including the forward projections for the further 2 years, consistent with the medium-term expenditure framework, as the CFO has just done. The executive authority overarching strategic statement forms the basis for the development of the Defense Secretariat and South African National Defense Force annual performance plan. As you know, the last time we were here, we presented the South African National Defense Force Annual Performance Plan, and today we are here to present the Defense Secretariat Annual Performance Plan. Our vision is that of an effective defense for a democratic South Africa, and to do this by providing management, to provide and manage and prepare and employ the defense capabilities commensurate with the needs of South Africa as regulated by the Constitution, the national legislation, and Parliament, as well as the executive direction. The above then is provided through proper management, provision, preparedness, employment of defense capabilities, which are in line with the domestic and global needs of South Africa. We are here because we are required by the constitutional and legislative mandate, as highlighted by the Constitution, the Defense Act No. 42 of 2002, Defense Amendment Act of Act 22 of 2010, as well as the Public Service Act. When we design and develop the annual performance plan, we usually meet at the beginning of the calendar year before financial year begins. As executive management of the department with the executive authority, the minister, in what we call the ministerial work session, which we had this year on time in January. During that work session, the minister highlighted the priorities from the ministerial point of view for this coming financial year that she wanted to be included in this annual performance plan. And those ministerial priorities were enhancement of the South African National Defense Force landward defense capabilities. Because the last strategic acquisition plan for the defense enhanced the capabilities of the Air Force, enhanced the capabilities of the maritime, and did not involve the enhancement of the landward defense capabilities. And the minister emphasized that for this MTEF this year and the next 2 years, we must focus on enhancing that capability of the landward defense capability. The minister highlighted the importance of the maritime security due to the government priorities now that calls upon the defense force to fight the pirates in the Indian Ocean. The issues highlighted, the minister highlighted the importance of job creation as part of the government priorities. the enhancement of the South African National Defence Force peacekeeping capabilities, since from time to time we are now called upon as the South African National Defence Force to participate in various peacekeeping missions as directed and required by various multilateral bodies such as the United Nations and the African Union. National Youth Service has been placed as a priority. The revitalization of the reserve, the structuring and support of the defense industry. We have already had our defense industry day in February and March, which was well received by the industry, as well as the enhancement of the Department of Defense work capability. A migration team that works with the public work services has been established to migrate some of the functions of the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense for the purposes of this priority of the minister. The organs of state that we work with in the public entities include AMCO, the Cattle Control Board, the Department of Military Veterans, the Defense Force Service Commission, as well as the Military Ombudsman, which this body has approved, the decision of which has been approved, and now is in the process of implementation. As indicated in the executive authority's overarching statement, that's the one that will form the basis for the Defense Secretariat and the South African National Defense Force annual performance plan, as well as the strategic direction of the Minister's priority that we have just gone through. Two separate annual performance plans have been prepared, one for the Defense and another for the Defense Secretary, and now here we are presenting the annual performance plan of the Secretariat. At this point, I will ask my colleague that is Dr. Gamete, who is the DDG Chief of Policy and Strategic Planning in the Department, to take us through the Secretariat aspect of our annual performance plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Members of Parliament. I'm now going to be on slide 12. Beginning with the vision and mission of the Defense Secretariat. The vision is excellence in governance to ensure the efficient and the effective defense delivery. And our mission there is the Defense Secretariat that directs specified managerial, administrative, and advisory services to achieve the ends of the defense strategy and to enhance and effect the MOD capacity for civil control. In the next slide, slide 13, we just highlighting the fact that at the beginning of every planning cycle, we undertake what we call an environmental scan in order to identify the factors that both internal and external that will impact on the service delivery of the department in a specific year as well as beyond that year. So in this instance is 2012 and beyond. We also required by the National Strategic Planning Framework to analyze the service delivery environment. Since we are operating in a very dynamic environment. We're doing that, as I've indicated, in order to isolate both the internal and the external environment so that all those that will impact negatively on the delivery of the Defense Secretariat. But not only that, but also to isolate the opportunities and the threats so that we explore the opportunities for delivery and we mitigate the threat. We have a number of elements that we have identified that impact on our environment. One is that we are functioning in an environment where we have to implement austerity measures. Those are clearly identified. I'm not going to go through all of them on page 32 to 34 of the APP. The second one is we need to, in our planning, contribute or accommodate our activities to contribute to the government medium-term strategic framework. And that we do by means of either directly contributing as in outcome 3 and outcome 11, as well as indirectly contributing towards the achievement of other national priorities that are in the MTSS. We also want to highlight the challenges of the human resources that because of the deviation, challenges that we have with the deviation in the blueprint as it appears in the current white paper on defense and the current defense review. What we are going to do is that these matters will be accommodated in the defense, in the new defense review. The other challenge is the declining research and development capacity. And again, we are coming up with the interventions, working with the defense industry to mitigate against the decline and to make sure that we provide for deterrence in terms of defense industry that will contribute towards research and development in this area. We also are looking at intangible capital assets, and we are coming up in the short and medium term with the intervention to manage the intellectual property and of defense materials. And in this respect, we're working with CETA and AMCO, in cooperation with CETA and AMCO. In terms of the infrastructure facilities, we are in an environment where we have backlogs in the maintenance of defense force facilities, and partly because, or the major factor here is the inability of the Department of Public Works to deliver on its core mandate of servicing these facilities. However, what we have in the process at the moment is the project to relocate the maintenance function from the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense. The information systems, Chair, we also have a challenge here that our information systems are not integrated. However, in this respect, again, we will be working towards making sure that we work with our suppliers to align with the new ISMS. The other work is also impacted on by our contribution to the cluster. The Minister of Defence and Minister of Defence has a responsibility to coordinate the functions of the ICCS cluster, which is International Cooperation, Security and Trade cluster. And by virtue of her being a coordinator, the sector is also coordinating the DG level of the clusters, and the department therefore has to plan for providing the secretariat to both the minister and the DG level of the clusters. Also our work is governed by or has to look at the government's new growth path. We are here always, we have to accommodate the contribution of the DOD directly and indirectly on the development of skills, national development of skills, as well as job creation. By this, we shall use the inherent capabilities of the defense force, for example, in the MSD systems, as well as the National Youth Service. In terms of the stakeholder engagement, we just highlighted here that we are in an environment where we are prepared to provide honest, fair, open dialogue between us and our stakeholders who have a legitimate interest in the department or in the work of the Defence Force. And Chair, in terms of corporate governance, again, we try and strive to make sure that we take our accountability functions very seriously, and that we shall, or our plans will be aligned to the stakeholders that work with us. Now, in terms of, again, still under the performance delivery environment, the CECES has highlighted 8 priorities that the Defence Force, Minister's priorities that we are going to be delivering this year. Among the 8, the Defence Secretariat is responsible directly for the 3 of those MOD priorities, and that is job creation, to work with the defence industry here to create opportunities for jobs. The National Youth Service, Defence Secretariat is working on the policy aspect of the National Youth Service in an effort to increase the levels of skills among the youth. And then finally, the restructuring and support of the defence industry is squarely in the environment of the defence secretariat. Okay, I will then go to what we will be doing this year, 2012-2013, to support the identified priorities of the Minister of Defence and Minister of Veterans. First, the bullet 1 refers to the policy framework that will develop to form the basis of the Defence Amendment Act. I need to highlight here that this project was, the initiative was done or started last year, and that we are towards the approval process during the year under review. The second one is defence contribution to the crime and prevention strategy of government, which will include support to the JCPS cluster priorities and requirements. Members, you will recall that the Department of Defense is a member of the ICPS cluster, sorry, of the JCPS cluster, which is Justice, Crime Prevention, and Security. And we are contributing to Output 6 of our country, that is, people in South Africa are and feel safe. We shall also do that over and above providing, contributing to the achievement of the priorities of the JCPS cluster. We also are going to be including in the PA, in the performance agreements of all the SMS members, the funding that they should look at crime, at fraud prevention, and at fraud and at the prevention of fraud and corruption in the department. The other one is the establishment of the research capability within the Division of Defence Policy Strategy and Planning, and that is to support all the initiatives of developing policy as well as policy formulation. This project was started last year, and it will be finalised once the defence review has been finalised. The next one is the review of the White Paper on Defence-Related Industries, and this will be done together with the Defence Industry Strategy so that we position the defence function to maximise the responsiveness of the defence industry in support the delivery of the defence mandate. The first project, Chair, we have made comprehensive input to the defence review process. So there will be a section that deals with the matter of the DOD support to defence industry. Further, we are dealing with the repositioning of the DOD central staff. However, central staff is just but a small part of the whole project of the repositioning of the Defence Secretariat. In such a way that the execution of the Defence Secretariat and the SANDF distinct yet complementary mandates are done effectively by both the chief and the Secretary for Defense. The other policy proposal that we're dealing with, which is already on the table, Chair, is the HR development policy and the skills development plan. However, we still need to finalize the skills audit during the year under review. At least 25% of the skills audit will have to be finalized during the year under review. The Defense Fiscal and Capability Framework is another big policy that we will be dealing with. The CFO has started on the work, however, this work will have to be aligned with the Defense Review once the Defense Review is finalized. And finally, Chair, under the DOD policy proposal to support the MOD priorities, we are going to be working on the policy that will govern the armed forces day, so that the engagement of the armed forces with the citizenry is done within the policy framework. Now, legislation to be introduced, we are also required by the National Strategic Planning Framework to indicate to Parliament legislation that we'll be dealing with during the year under review, which is this case, 2013. The Military Discipline Bill, the Military Ombuds Bill, this is already has been at a very advanced stage, I think, extended to already. Then we have the Defense and Related Act Repeal Amendment Bill, as well as the Defense Amendment Bill. Chair, the Defense Secretariat, all the activities, the functions of the Defense Secretariat are in Program 1, which is the Administrative Program. I'm not going to, this is very self-explanatory. What I will just indicate here is that the work of the Defense Secretariat at a high level is in the administration program, but then it is divided into sub-programs. We have about 11 sub-programs, the first one being the Ministerial Direction Day, and the purpose of this program, Madam Chair, is to provide political direction to the department in order to ensure that the democratic defense of South Africa can meet its required defense commitments by providing it with appropriate capabilities. We obviously have the output there, which is what we can deliver on the output table. Then we have the departmental direction. Obviously, the departmental direction takes or should be aligned to the political direction, as outlined in the minister's priorities for the year that we have under review. Here, the output to this effect there is the provision of the strategic direction to the DOD, the policy advice to the MOD, the minister, the management of the parliamentary activities and engagement, the management of the National Conventional Arms Control Committee support activities. The department houses the secretariat that supports the NCACC. We also provide support to the department as far as supply chain integration is concerned, and also policy development, management, and administration of the defense and enterprise environment. Here we then have a sub-program which is called Policy and Planning, and the responsibility there is the Chief Defense Policy Strategy and Planning, and we have a number of deliverables or outputs that appear on your right-hand side, one of them being National Defense Policy Advice that is provided to the Secretary for Defense and to the principals in the DOD. Then we also, under this program, provide defense strategic business architecture. We also make sure that there is strategic planning function, is that the risk management function, and that performance management and evaluation functions are performed effectively. This sub-program also provides the secretariat and administrative support to the NCC, as the NCHC, as well as the subcommittees of the NCHC. The next one is the financial services sub-program, and that is handled by the CFO, and I won't go through this because the CFO has has made a presentation on the budget, which is a huge part of this sub-program. The acquisition services is the acquisition services is the next sub-program, and the official responsible here is Chief Defense Material. And this sub-program directs and manages the acquisition of the DOE-specified material and technology requirements. And it is done by competent staff in this environment, and it is also done within the allocated budget. And acquisition services is also done in line with the applicable policies and principles. We have inspection services here as another sub-program, and the responsible person is the chief internal audit executive, and this function deals with or ensures the validity and veracity of the management information in the department. The IG services also fall under the sub-program. Human resources, the sub-program human resources, Madam Chair, obviously it provides the full resource support services to the department as a whole. And the official responsible here is the Chief Human Resources. The reference to central staff means that this sub-program, or the chief content here, reports on policy, human resources policy matters to the sector, and on general human resource management matters to the Chief of the Defense Force. We then have legal services that provide a professional, legitimate, and deployable defense legal service, and also support all the needs of the Department of Defense. And the Chief Defense Legal Service is in charge here of the function. And the next one is communication services, and this is done by the head of communications to make sure that we communicate effectively with all our stakeholders. The next one is defense foreign relations. Here we have two functions. One is performed by the Chief of Defense Foreign Relations, and it actually looks at the execution of all the international relations functions, while the Defense International Affairs, which resides in the Secretariat, is responsible for policy and strategy on our international engagement. Chair, to conclude, I would like on the matter of performance information, to indicate that the performance information of the Defense Secretariat is informed by, one, the medium-term strategic framework. It is fully aligned to the requirements of the MTSF outcome. We are contributing to here outcome 3, 5, outcome 11, and outcome 2. Outcome 3, which is in the JCPS environment, on crime prevention, and outcome 2 is on health measures, and outcome 5 is where we are contributing towards skills development in terms of the MSDs and the NYS. We also the plans are also informed by the DOD constitutional and legislative mandate, as the SECDEF has indicated earlier on in the overarching strategic statement. We also informed in our plans by the ministerial, by the delivery agreement of the minister, which is signed with the president. And finally, this plan is fully aligned to the strategic priorities of the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans. Now, Chair, I'm coming to the risk management. We are required again by the national framework on strategic planning to highlight risks that might impede the delivery of the strategic plans that we're putting before you. One is a risk of an ineffective and inefficient performance as a result of the non-integrated and incompatible IT systems in the department. The mitigating action that we are going to take, Chair, is to analyze all of the systems in the DOD with an intention for integration. In fact, this has been done, and we already do have on the table the strategy on the IT system. We are also going to take action to approach National Treasury for permission to procure the DOT integrated system. The system has been on hold due to the processes at National Treasury level on the ISMS. The second risk, Chair, is the potential for unreliability of the DOD performance information. This is inclusive of the financial statements due to the non-integration, again, of the IT system and the non-availability of source documents. In this respect, we are going to mitigate our mitigating action is, one, the enhancement of resource management systems in order to improve internal controls in the department. We are also going to align the DOD accounting manuals with the general recognized accounting practice standard, GRAP. And also, there is an effort to empower staff and employ qualified personnel with the emphasis on financial management and performance reporting skills. We have identified that reporting is also a challenge. Another final action here is the implementation plan for the interim performance information management policy system to be developed and rolled out. We have already finalized the information management policy, and in fact, we are implementing that policy. However, we're still working on a permanent policy on the matter of management of information in the department, performance information in the department. The third risk is the loss of state assets and damage to reputation due to possible tender irregularities and other forms of corruption and fraud. And we are going to, our mitigating action is, one, we have revised or is revising policy on supply chain management. And also, we're going to enhance effective supply chain management, the governance risk compliance performance within the DOD and its agents. And then we're going to implement the latest National Treasury Supply Chain Management Instruction Note. And finally, we are implementing the DOD Fraud Prevention Plan. I have indicated earlier that the minister has instructed that all SMS members in the department in their performance agreement, it will be included that they are responsible for preventing fraud and corruption in their area of operation. The other risk is limited operational legal advice and legal support that is provided to the SANDF during deployment. operations and exercises and the cost litigation that could result in the ineffectiveness and losses in this area. There is a project as a mitigating action to intensify the retention of scarce skills in the legal environment by means of implementing the occupation-specific dispensation and also to ensure that the Defence Legal Service is fully capacitated in order to deal with legal matters in the department. We also here are going to be using reserve force members to supplement the current shortage of expertise in the legal environment. The appointment of Chief Legal Services is underway, and we believe that once this has been done, it will go a long way into enhancing capacity in the environment. Then we are awaiting the Ministerial Legal Audit Committee recommendations on how to capacitate the division to execute its function effectively. And then lastly is to increase the Defence Legal Services financial baseline, of course, budget committee. The inability to secure royalties and revenue from defense intellectual property and to protect strategic defense in the intangible assets. I've already indicated here that there are interventions and the department is working in collaboration with ANCO and CISA in order to manage the intangible assets of the Department of Defense. The lack of support to the defense industry may also result in the failure of this industry to support the DOD defense capability. And in this respect, our mitigation action, Madam, is to develop and implement defense industry strategy, and we are undertaking to complete this by July 2012. However, the strategy will have to be aligned to the work of the defense review. The Defense Industry Council that will be led by the Deputy Minister for Defense and Military Veterans is to be established. The next risk is the inadequate influence in the multilateral arena resulting in South African national interest not being promoted. In this case, we are working the ICTS cluster, which is chaired by Defense, and DICO is the deputy chair. We are working on actually a strategy that will ensure that South Africa is represented adequately or takes up its quotas in multilateral arena. And finally, the last one is the possible qualified audit report that is a risk at the moment. However, we are saying here that the action of the DOD Operation Clean Audit, which is an ongoing project that we've been involved in, will mitigate and ensure that we eliminate all the qualifications in our environment. I'm handing back over to the Jet Set to deal with the difficult part of answering questions.
Thank you very much, Dr. Clemente, our DDG and Chief of Defense Policy Strategic Plan and Strategic Planning. Members of the committee, that is our presentation both on the budget as well as on the annual performance plan that we present to this committee. And thank you very much, Chairperson. We'll be ready to take questions as needed. Thanks.
Thank you, the SECDEF and the department. Honorable members, before I can allow you opportunity to ask questions to the department, I would like to give this opportunity to Honorable Mgwango, who wants to make some introduction before we. Over to you, Honorable Mgwango.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. I actually wanted to introduce my colleague on my right, Mr. Mkulego Lengwa. He's probably the youngest member of parliament in this institution, being slightly over 20 years. And he has actually joined us, and I hope to be with him in this committee as my alternate, because he takes particular interest on defense issues, especially on the youth service, you know, core. Thank you.
Not true. I'm the youngest member of parliament.
Thank you, Honorable Mkongo. Honorable members?
At least he is the second youngest.
Honorable members, let us start with our deliberations and questions, because we must also understand that at 2 o'clock this venue will be needed for the EPC on police. So I will give over to the members to engage the two presentations. Honorable Gaba Deli, Honorable Lenir, Honorable Mazia, and Honorable Nan, in that order. Thank you very much.
I wanted to address a particular matter raised by Honorable Manir in the beginning of the meeting. I did not raise my hand to ask questions. No, I don't want to respond. I want to clear a perception, because though the management of the committee is supposed to draw a program for the committee, it is also the responsibility of the members of the committee to bring to the attention of the management committee matters which they think are relevant for the committee to address. And it is not necessarily a normal practice that before the budget debate or the budget presentation of a department, there should be hearings. It is only when the committee realizes that there are matters which need more time, where enough time is allocated to the committee for the committee to attend to those matters. I also want to bring to the attention of the committee that we have been meeting almost every Wednesday of the week, and this matter was never brought up to the committee to question when are we discussing the budget of the department. It has never been brought up. If we were not meeting for the last past 3 months and we are meeting only today to look at the budget, I would understand Honorable Menir. And the perception that is presented here is that as a committee, we have not been meeting, we have not been discussing anything. We have been meeting, we have been going according to the program of the committee as it is required. However, we have never taken into consideration the fact that the budget debates are advancing, and therefore we need to prepare ourselves. So the challenge that I want to put to the committee is to say that it is a responsibility of all of us as members of this committee to bring to the attention of the chairperson matters that we think requires enough time for us in preparation of those matters. Thank you.
Honorable Gabadeli.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for your ability in sharing us. First of all, one would like to thank the presentation. And I'll just be interested in the Chief Financial Officer's report or presentation. You know what is good about national expenditure? It begins to be an appreciation of what has been done in any department. And thanks for giving us that appreciation. My first question is on slide 4, on the salary improvement. It would be nice for us to know the levels when we are talking of salary improvement, which levels have those salaries been improved to avoid what we saw a few years ago in the union building. Then the second question is on slide 6. I've got very few. Defense intelligence, I'm worried at the amount that is being allocated to defense intelligence, bearing in mind that we need now as a country to have preventative defense. It looks like we really take very little interest in our defense intelligence, judging by the amount that they are being given. It looks like it's one of those things, and I want to say no, I don't really believe that it can be one of those things. On slide 8, you talking about St. John's, out of my ignorance, St. John's, is it a shared service? What is the story of St. John's and defense? Just in brief. And my last question is on slide 9. Where you are talking about sales of scrap, waste, arms and other used current goods, I became nervous as defense is a member of JCPS and the level of crime we have, particularly on the sales of arms. Who do you sell these things to? Lastly, the comment. I want to congratulate you on slide 16. Last week I was watching TV and I was looking at Ecom and how the rest of other world is lacking confidence in Ecom. You know, your slide is highlighting a number of capabilities. I want to say keep it up. We don't want to see you guys flying to the oceans and talking left and right. You are doing well. Keep it up. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mkabadeli. Before I give you my honorable my name, I want to acknowledge the visitors and the gallery. Today we are very special in this committee. This is our third visit, third group for today. This is the department portfolio committee on defense, and with the Department of Defense and Military Veterans. We are listening to the department for the two presentations on the budget that will be taking place and debated next week on Thursday. So I'm sure you will enjoy and learn from the deliberations from the honorable members to the department. Welcome. Thank you very much. Honorable.
Chair, let me begin with on a light note. I share the honorable candidate's concern about defense intelligence, not least because during the Paul and Gabeni matter, it emerged that defense intelligence were not able to determine that the minister's former legal advisor was a fugitive from justice in the United States, and that information was, in fact, available on the web. So perhaps as military intelligence's vetting procedure could include a Google search, everybody's life might be made easier. Chair, let me then begin with my five questions. The first question is a simple question. What is the total allocated budget for President Jacob Zuma's Boeing business jet in the 2012-2013 financial year? I will do so, Honourable Member. The next point is about the Program 1 administration. Let me point out that it is a little alarming, and it is symptomatic of a trend in the department that we are spending 3.7 billion rand on administration and only about 2.5 billion rand on maritime defense. In other words, the desk drivers consume more money than the ship drivers, and that is of concern. But let me get to a specific issue, and that is expenditure on the ministry. Now, in the 2012-2013 financial year, we budget 64 million rand under the line item ministry. Now, to put this figure in perspective, the presidency in the same financial year will only spend 32 million, and the National Treasury, the biggest department, State Department in our country, will only spend 3.6 million. And yet, the Ministry of Defense are going to spend 64.9 billion. Now, this raises a question. What is being spent under the line item ministry? Now, the claim in the document is that the reason for the high levels of expenditure is an allocation to the military ombudsman. Now, that can't be true if one looks at other documents where we see that expenditure on the military ombudsman might be about 5 or 6 million. So my question is, what is being hidden under the line item, the ministry? My hypothesis is that what is being hidden is the total expenditure on the minister's multimedia campaign, the advertising campaign. And so my question is, what is the total expenditure in the past financial year on the multimedia campaign, and what has been budgeted in the next financial year? Because it seems to me that the department are spending millions every year on TV ads, radio ads, and billboards, when that money should be spent on operations. So that's my first question. My second question, Chair, is again about it concerns maritime defense. The argument, Chair, which we face with from the department is that the departments are underfunded. But the real issue, if you look at the budget, is that the operational budget has been stripped, and the operational budget of the Defence Force is underfunded. Now, if we look at maritime defense, we see on page 18 that under maritime capability, in fact, there's a reduction of about 7 million rand compared to the previous financial year. And if one looks on page 27, there was a request under ministerial priorities for an additional 755 million rand, which was not granted by the National Treasury. So my question is, particularly in respect of maritime defense and the anti-piracy operation, why are we spending less in the next financial year? And more broadly, is maritime defense and the anti-piracy operation properly and fully funded? Do the Navy have enough money for that operation? And if they do not, why do they not have enough money allocated? Third question, Chair, and I'll speed up. I want to look at the total, at the armed welfare hypothesis. It's clear that the Department of Defense now is spending 50.6% of its budget on the compensation of employees, many of whom are surplus. At the same time, the operational budget is stripped to the bone, and we cannot afford to, for example, send our ships to sea and keep our aircraft in the air. Now, we're budgeting 17.5 billion rand on the compensation of employees, which is probably about 50% of the budget. My question is simple. How many of the total number of employees in the Department of Defense are surplus, and how much of that, of the budget, is that consuming? Finally, Chair, I come to the strategic defense account. On Thursday next week, I'm expected to vote on the Defense Department appropriation of 37.4 billion rand. 5.2 billion of that falls under the special defense account. My question is, what is that 5.2 billion rand being spent on? You cannot expect me to vote to support or oppose a budget if I don't know what 5.2 billion rand of the Department of Defense's budget is being spent on. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. Honorable Nana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I welcome the new member from the IST in our committee and hope that he will enjoy his last 24 months in Parliament. Just to say to Honorable Mwango, he should try and keep him away from the Youth League, lest he get contaminated.
This malema is no longer effect.
Honorable Nana, go straight to your question. You complain, Ned, and say the time is not. You have given an opportunity, but now you are messing up.
Is that intimidation, sir? Or censorship? Can I be protected from somebody behind me? Anyway, Chair, I've got two questions. Yesterday, those of us who attended the EPC on Public Works will recall the Minister of Public Works mentioning a figure that ran into billions of rand on accommodation of various government departments. I now see in your, I'm always tempted to call him Brakila because we used to call him Brakila and others. I now hear Mr. Gabandu mentioning a figure close to 2 billion rand that is being set aside for accommodation. My question is this accommodation paid to Public Works? In other words, are these properties owned by Public Works, or are they properties owned by individuals in the country? The second one, Chairperson, is what I would rather call an alarming state, because I would really imagine that part of a combat ready defense force, part of its primary requirements is vigorous and regular training. I see in the budget for 2012-2013, there is a laudable increase for landlord defense, which is much appreciated. But very strikingly for the air defense, over 50% has been slashed, from 600 and something to 310, I think, which is quite alarming to me. And again, on maritime, there are fluctuations. One year, there's an increase in the budget. The following year, there's a decrease in the budget. And the last one, which I also think is very important, and yet it suffers a budget cut throughout, is your military health support. Is there a reason, Chair, why the training component in this budget is not given the necessary emphasis? There isn't much, or shall I say, is there a reason that training is not given much emphasis? There is a budget cut on training all the way.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Mazela.
Chairperson, I wonder if the department is going to carry its responsibility well. If you look at the budget itself, because it's not understandable that you increase responsibilities to an operation and not increase money for the operation. Now, I would want the department to just give us an insight, because maybe there is something we don't know. In my view, the responsibility of the defense to now deal with borders requires additional staffing. The additional responsibility in the sea borders also requires additional veterinary and additional members for deployment. And if you look at the budget is not talking to those new responsibilities of the department. Now, is the old numbers equivalent to the new responsibilities? Are we saying we were overstaffed, and hence the reason we don't see the need that there is a requirement here to an additional members of the defense? My last point, Chairperson, is whether there is increase in the forced employment, or whether the forced employment is stagnant. If there is increase, are the monies talking to that, or are we going to engage in some further other engagements labor actions? We experienced that problem 2-3 years ago. Is this a result of us expecting labor confrontation, or are we safe?
Thank you, honorable members. Now I'll give over to the department to respond to both presentations, questions, and clarities. Over to you, Secretary.
Thank you very much, honorable chair. I'm just going to ask for 1.5 seconds to consult with my team. Some of the questions are very difficult.
Honorable Secretary, you will just indicate, and then you dedicate some of your questions to your delegation so that we can make it easier for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The question has been asked about which levels of salaries have been improved, and I think that to be the question I will ask the CFO to address as much as possible, because I know we might not have all the details in terms of, as you know, there are about 15, 17 levels, and which ones get more increased and which ones didn't get more increased. Thank you.
to the mic, sir.
I will try to address as I'm ordering them in terms of the those that relate to the budget. If I miss anything, I request members to forgive me and raise it again. Chair, I'm not sure the first one on military intelligence was just a comment that didn't require an answer. Yes, I will ask the chief, the secretary, to deal with the issue of the president's aircraft, but we do not allocate budget specifically for the president. The allocation is for the function itself, which is the VIP function. And I think that definitely will address the rest. I think the one of the key things that we're addressing in the fiscal framework document that we are developing, which will be part of it, is to look at, for example, the issue of how you make the administration program of defense to be similar to the others. I think the comparison of the of these two, for example, many others, other departments' administration is not quite, it's almost like comparing apples to oranges. If you look at, you will never find in any of the other departments where spending on office accommodation for the whole organization is, let me address it appropriately. The major part of the 3.7 billion that we are talking about in program one goes to office accommodation, and you are talking about a defense that is spread all over the country. That's the first one. So that money actually, to answer the question that has been asked, is money spent through the landlord, government landlord, which is public works. It is a combination of those properties that are owned by public works and some are owned by private, where they don't have accommodation themselves, then they are supposed to go through the process of procuring the accommodation for the department. So you take that out of this, but it goes down. And then there are many other areas you would find that you wouldn't find in any other department. So program one in many departments would consist of three or four lines. There would be spending on the minister, which generally in most programs reflected the salary of the minister only, or the minister and deputy minister, and then the rest goes to the general administration, or what is called corporate services. In defense, I think because of the nature and structure of the way in which defense is organized, we included other things. Therefore, included in the expenditure for the ministry correctly are the activities that relate to communication as part of the popularization of defense in general, and making sure that defense is known and communicated appropriately in the country. And I think it is also a function that at a strategic level the department concluded needs to be put in as part of the priorities for the department, selling the department, the defense force to the broader South African audience. Now the issue is whether or not we will always fight over whether we spend enough, the amounts that are spent are excessive or not excessive, but they are all spent through the agencies that deal with the SABC, etc., etc. And therefore, I think that is the anomaly that I accept is the issue with regard to program one for the department. Then we will then include other areas like religious services, which you never find in any other department if that comparison is made. I think as we have held the discussion on the fiscal framework that we're looking at. One of the things is to look at what is the service that is being provided and where does it fit best. For example, foreign relations, etc. Would it be best, is it a program that is a general administration in the context of a defense, because defense, the issue of interaction with the international partners is a mainline program. It's not just a nice to have, and in fact, probably would have to be aligned to one or two of the other programs that general, and then you can define the outcomes you want to achieve out of that. I think that is the issue. My response with regard to that, Chair. And I think Honourable Manier actually did become the ombudsman because of absence of an appropriate alignment is also allocated. Is in this program. One. I think I have answered the question on multimedia. I have not given. I don't have the actual numbers, but they are spending on the multimedia media, and the justification for it is that it is identified as a very key strategic output that needs to be attained in order to ensure that the defense force is known and accepted by the populace of the country.
Just, this is not going well. The Chief Financial Officer is trying to address my first and second question. My first and second question are quite simple. What was budgeted?
Honourable Mami, give the department a chance, and then after the department indicated that if there are questions that are left, they will deal with.
I think there's a second issue, and I hope I am I picked it correctly. Your concern was that in the maritime defense, the operational expenditure is being stripped in favor of HR, compensation of employees. I think this is generally the. I think, firstly, 2 years ago, as a result of the activities that were identified and the identification of the fact that key to the morale of the defense force is the issue of salary, the dispensation that is applicable that needed to be addressed. And therefore, the decision was taken to actually address that. I think normally in the situation where you have to make a choice between and with limited resources, particularly if you have to address either capital or you want to address compensation, there is an item that is going to suffer if the funding is not increasing. Yes, I think it is a concern that the operational expenditure is low. It is one of the things that we even in the current MTF period, we will put forward in order to try to obtain the funding that levels that are required to achieve the outcomes we want to achieve. So, in that regard, I agree. It is a concern, and I think it is not only a program in the maritime environment. You would find it in the other environments as well. That it has. Suffered to some extent, but at least the problem that was identified would have been addressed in the process. There was a question on slide 27, and I think it's about the maritime strategy that has not been funded. In that regard, I think we were also concerned that the whole of December to January, we were engaging National Treasury on that matter because it's a critical project that was approved by Cabinet. The latest on it is that Treasury is looking at it favorably. They have indicated that we must put it a bid in order for it to be addressed when we do the adjustment budget. And as a result, therefore, we are doing interim reprioritization within the program in order to ensure that when we receive those funds, we are able to address funding. But at least, unlike when we were having the discussions where it was outrightly refused, it is now favorably being received by National Treasury. And I think because last year it was funded in the adjustment budget, it is our desire that when we address it in the adjustment budget this year, we actually seek to get it allocated as part of the baseline going forward, because you don't want to go back through the same process of having to motivate additionally for a program that has already been accepted as a policy position and approved. There was a question about scrap and assets. I think from time to time, assets that are redundant, unusable, are often sold in line with the law if they are military equipment. They are sold in line with the law of the Republic or the conditions if the items would have been acquired from outside the country, like in America or wherever, to meet the conditions of the acquisition of those assets. So these assets that you see scrapped and sold, some would have included, for example, motor vehicles, etc. They are sold through, most of them are sold through AMSCO by auction. Those that can be sold to the public without anything being done to the assets, they are sold to the public, and those that are sold through the structures and NCACC, for example, then be disposed on that basis. Others may have to be scrapped because of environmental requirements. If they are sold, they may become dangerous to the population. I think in defense, and this is one of the critical issues that needs to be addressed in terms of dealing with the assets. We have generally accumulated high levels of assets, some of which may not be used. It is absolutely essential that things that are no longer required, we don't lock capital in those. We actually dispose of them in order to realize the capital and make sure that they are used. And secondly, you then have to reduce and make sure that you have an asset register that reflects assets. That means things that are usable, that you are supposed to be using and that are of use to the defense force. And if Silo was here, he would indicate what, because he developed a strategy to deal with the issue of disposal of assets in order to reduce this high level of accumulation of stock. I do hope I addressed the issue of the public works sufficiently already. There is a comment with regard to the 5.2 billion spent on the special defense account, which the honorable member says he does not know what it is spent on. It is spent on category A acquisitions, which is military acquisitions. This is the account that is used to develop the military equipment acquisition requirements for the department.
The secretary will give.
I just wanted to, I just wanted to emphasize on that, and also to cover the other areas that might have maybe for the discomplicated for matter of emphasis more than anything. Honorable, if you look at the budget that was just presented, for instance, I can just.
We can just take you to. If you look at the air defense, for instance, 16. When you look there, you will see all your budget about operational capabilities, like helicopter capability, transport and maritime capability. All of those budgets, in terms of the acquisition of armaments, will be done through AMCO, through the special defense account. And also, you can go maybe to slide 18, where they will talk about maritime combat capability, maritime logistics, and you can do the same thing also for the landward forces. So your SDA is right in the allocated as such. Maybe also to highlight on your questions about the presidential plane. We don't have a budget item that says presidential plane, but yes, when we break it down, we do have what we call the VVIP capability. So when we talk about the VVIP capability, which is really the transport for the presidency and the VVIPs, it will, within the air defense force in different areas, you will have salaries there that covers the VVIP capability transport. You will have the ops and support capability. You will even have the training capability and the technical support for the maintenance. So we will have to really go and say, so much was paid, so much for transporting the president, that's why so much was spent. So I think the question becomes a little bit difficult, but the Auditor General is on top of that, sits with us, and we go through it, and by the time we talk about the financial year ending now, or maybe that has just ended, financial year 2012 ended in March, we are now going through all of those auditing, and the Auditor General is asking all of these questions when we're setting them down. So these audit reports will finish the 31st of May, and then the committee will have a look at it and how much is spent on what over the past year in August. I don't think now, today, we will be able to tell you how much we have spent, for instance, on the media. And maybe I would like to beg to differ with the Honorable Member that this is a useless expenditure when the Ministry communication informs the public, the society. I think it is in public interest. I think it is in society interest to know what is happening to the budget that they've allocated to us. Actually, the media and the public are saying to us, you know, we didn't even know that the Defense Force is out there protecting the rhinos and the baby rhinos and protecting the fishes and the baby fisheries because we don't tell them that we are doing this. Why don't you tell the public what you are doing with the money that is allocated to you? So that's what I need more money right now to start talking to the public so that they will know exactly what we are doing about the money that is allocated to us. Rather than to reduce that, I would really like to increase the ministerial budget on that one for communication. Okay. On the issue of that we have asked about the St. John, I mean, I can just highlight that it was the one-time expenditure. We have a process in the Department of Defense to donate some of the equipment as well as some of the funding through the processes, of course, and the internal policies. This donation that was for St. John was specifically for an ambulance at that time that was used to assist the soldiers in the faraway areas like in Northern Cape where there are any other services and where our troops do their war training and others. And for that, it shows in our books. And we said that with that format that we have agreed with the Treasury, how we show it on our books in terms of when we have donated some of the equipment for community projects that we work with for the mutual benefit of the members of the South African Defence Force as well as the communities where we are operating. And the disposal of our
of our equipment, used equipment. If it is vehicles, some of them we donate to our fraternal armed forces of the African countries, again following specific processes, including following South African laws and regulations, including the NCACC, where in cases, if it is a leader or equipment that is classified according to NCACC, we need to get a proper license for that before we can dispose of those equipment. And of course, we can assure the members that we will not be doing the auctions on these kinds of weapons to where it's going to endanger the security. Most of the time, as I indicated, fraternal forces in African countries, forces that were involved in joint operations. Now, as you know, we have a trilateral agreement with Tanzania, Mozambique, and South Africa on the maritime security strategy. And if they are struggling with their maritime boats, patrol boats, sometimes we have to donate as well as we have to help them maintain those boats for the purpose of those joint operations. And then we reflect it in a certain format in our budget, and that's how it comes out. I don't know.
There was a question on military health training. I think it's, if you look at all the programs where there is training capability of, for example, in landward defense, you have general training capability, and in others. Largely, the contributing factor to that, to the decreases, or the less than anticipated increases in some of the areas, relate to the distribution of the reduction proposed to, with regard to the MSDS allocation. We had to spread that 500, if you go to slide 4, that reduction of MSDS 4953531 is then distributed across the various services, SA Army, SAF, SA Navy, SAMS, Lock Divisions, etc., where we would have had those MSDSs. I think that's generally the answer. It's not, you may find that it's not only in one program. Maybe there may be differences in terms of how that decrease affects the program, depending on the size of the program. I think I needed to answer that.
And while the CFO is taking a breath, preparing for the next one, there's one that has come in about the amount allocated to defense intelligence. Actually, one other member will assure you that in our defense intelligence, we have very intelligent young men and women who are working there. And the operations of intelligence is such that most of the time we don't need equipment. I mean, we don't need heavy equipment and tanks. And so we just need brains more than anything else. So if you see the budget, that might not be reflective of the importance of such activity is because of less capital required, but mostly operational and human resource that is required there to train our people and to make sure that they're there. And but also the way we operate, honorable members, is that we are not operating and implementers. In other words, we're not gonna, once we have intelligent information, our duty then is to take that intelligent information and hand it over to the people who are required to use that intelligent information. And the people who are required to use the intelligent information might be at any level of our government. It might be at the executive, at the parliamentary, it can be even at the justice or anywhere where it's required. So we don't really use information as intelligence to operate ourselves on it. We pass it on. So it's not if you say we should have Googled that information and so, it's not that our intelligence didn't have that information. Our intelligence did have that information. Maybe the question should be, what did we do about the information? Of course, we know what has been done about the information. The information was given and the action was taken by the appropriate authorities. So as intelligence, we don't operate on information we get, we pass it on to the necessary authorities that need the information to do their operation.
I think we're
covered. There was on the military health service. Yes, the military health service is we are having some challenges in terms of the budget for the military health services, simply because of the restrictions, the limitations that we have in our budget. But the fluctuations there are caused by the fact that there are tons of life cycles of various medical equipment. We had budgeted for the renovations, especially of our tertiary facilities, but also of our primary facilities, what we call the sick bay. I am not happy with the renovations and the upgrades that we've done on the sick bay. I'm still looking for a location so that we can have a little bit of increase so that we can bring them to par to the standards that we'd like to have for the healthcare services of our armed forces. But on the tertiary side, I think we've done reasonably well to upgrade our facilities, although we have not yet finished. So you will see then the military health services going up in 1 year and then going down in another year if certain capitalization of our facilities has been achieved.
Honourable Member.
Madam Chair, the salaries or the improvement in conditions of services relate specifically to salary levels 1 to 12. So none of the senior management services or none of the members of the senior management receive a further or specific improved dispensation.
Honourable members, I'll give the second round. Honourable Mkwango, Honourable Mlambo, Honourable Isau, Honourable Mainis, Honourable Nana, in that order.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. My first one would actually be a comment rather than a question on the issue of the defense work formation, and actually congratulate the department on this particular one, because you'll remember, Madam Chair, when we actually went out on an oversight and visited some of the barracks around Pretoria, and we were all very concerned with the state of things there, and we were all asking ourselves a question as to why is Defence Force not actually taking over the functions of maintaining these assets. And now that there is that movement in that direction, I think it needs to be commended and ask them to actually accelerate that, because the state of our Air Force base in Waterloo, for instance, was left much to be desired. And the sinkholes, obsolete, assets, old trucks standing there, it was just a mess. Given the fact that the Air Force Base also is used by, the VVIPs, from other countries. So I would really commend the department on that one. My question would be on the loss of the DOD assets, especially the theft of Wee Country. To what extent has that been, actually provided for in terms of, fighting this kind of scourge, the loss of our military equipment? And the second one has to do, it's actually a follow-up question on the sale of some of our military equipment which we no longer need, because I think it was the Secretary for Defense who actually said that they sometimes sell some of these equipment to some African countries. My concern is that do they not find their way into the wrong hands? I mean, find themselves, you know, in the hands of some rogue elements in Yemen and Yemen, Sudan, Mali, or whatever. I'm a bit concerned about that. On the public relations and information, which the secretary actually feels strongly about and is actually asking for an additional fund, even though we are complaining that it's there's too much of it there. I agree that, you know, we need to inform the public about the operations of the Department of Defense. But there seem to be sometimes a very thin line between informing the public of what the Defense Force is doing and the minister's public relations exercise, because my worry is that too much of that actually focuses on the minister and her smart uniform, and then it becomes a marketing drive and a marketing tool for an individual, a minister, rather than and the operation of the of our soldiers and so on. Thank you.
It's a follow-up. I'm happy that Honorable Mwango picked up my concern. I was answered, but it's in line with the defense intelligence. I would not like us to go and defend our own causal factors. It becomes a vicious threat if we just give it to other less developed countries, the goods that we think they are no longer proper for us. How do we know how they use those ammunition and those goods? Can we task our defense intelligence to check risk? How are these other African countries utilizing this? Otherwise, we keep on thinking we have disposed them and we are causing chaos to our own continent. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mlambo.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll start by commenting. My comment is based on what my colleague here, Honorable Maynard, made about comparing this department with other departments. I think Honorable Maynard is the wrong by doing that, or we are wrong, because you see, defense in other countries is taken very seriously. And I think it's important for us as South Africans to take it very seriously. You know, in other countries they say defense as a department is a state within a state. And you know, we'll be debating about the budget next week, and when we look at this budget, it's very little. Because normally South Africans normally benchmark using other countries. I don't know when are we going to look at our prevailing conditions and begin to act accordingly as South Africans in terms of our defense capabilities as a country. You know, so I think the Constitution put it very clearly that the role that should be played by our defense force. That's the comment. But I just want to know something. It's some kind of a follow-up on the question that was asked by Honorable Mwango on this tender irregularity. That the department has spoken about.
are there any cases that have been picked up? And if there are cases, how many are there? I would like to know, you know, and how are you dealing with those kind of cases? And then the other question would be on slide 8, where you spoke about job creation. How many, if I might ask, how many vacant posts do you have as a department that need to be filled? Because I heard the doctor talking about only one post that is supposed to be filled. But here you are talking job creation. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mlambo. Honorable Nana.
Thanks, Chairperson, again. Chair, I really wouldn't want to harp on our intelligence capabilities and also the recently reported theft of arms. I think my colleagues have sufficiently dealt with it. What I really want to make a follow-up on, Chair, and it's really based on the continuous pleas by the Minister of Public Works. Since he took office, he has been asking everyone and everyone who's involved to help him get that department straight. My follow-up share relates to the accommodation. I accept the explanation by the CFO. And I know this question could be a bit unfair. They may not have the necessary detail on their fingertips, but I'm quite happy to get the written replies sent to the committee. It's really the divide, Chair, of how much of the nearly 2 billion is paid to Public Works as the landlord, and how much of that is paid to private landlords. It's really the divide, Chair. I mean, it can be. If they've got the answer, I would be happy to listen. But if they don't, it can be sent later. Oh, sorry, Chair. On the divide. Can we also be given the comparative analysis in terms of the square meters? In other words, if say of the 2 billion, 45% is for public works, it is paid to public works, and 55% is paid to private tenants. How many square meters is the department renting from Public Works in total, and how many are they renting? How many square meters are they paying for in private tenants? That will at least give us an idea of whether what we pay these ones is value for money or not.
Thank you, Honorable. Honorable
Isto. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The issue I want to just latch on first and foremost is again the morale of the South African Defence Force, which is rated at just over 3. I don't know exactly the scale of that morale, and because it was determined as satisfactory. If one looks at the end of the budget document for Vote 22, we see there are 35,000 facilities that needs to be addressed. And we look at the upgrading and refurbishing of a number of these facilities. I'd like us to be appraised of the facilities that need to be completed by this financial year, which is indicated here. There's a number of them which I've circled. There's also the issue where I'm not clear on page 504 of the budget vote, where we speak about upgrading our infrastructure for disabled members, and then under another one we put the recoverable projects. And the service delivery output is exactly the same. So I just want clarity on that. It's upgrading of building, offices, workshops, pathways by means of construction, ramps, and everything for members with disabilities. Under recoverable projects, exactly the same explanation, upgrading of building, offices, workshops for members with disabilities. So I just want to have a sense of the upgrade for the maintenance, because the work regiment or capability under logistic services, when will this actually take effect? Because public works has seriously undermined the South African Defence Force and the members that serve this country. So I'd like to know if the department is happy with the progress being made, and can they assure us that the projects that are lined up for this financial year is and will be completed. That's the one issue of the morale, which is still bothering me. I'm not happy with satisfactory, because that is projected even over the MTF as satisfactory, because all these projects cannot even be completed with over the MTF period. So how does one really deal with morale if we cannot deal with the immediate needs of the Defence Force and making soldiers live in a decent place? I think that's the one issue. The other one I need clarity on is the reduction under the military health support. And there's at the same time an indication of a savings. Now, I want to know if that savings is not really an under expenditure, under spending of that particular vote, when there's actually a saving and there's actually a need and the budget has been cut. And the department has clearly indicated that there are critical shortages of skills, of training, etc., in that particular department. The other one is, which I didn't get the response to listen to, is under the air defense on page 16 of the presentation, the decreases in terms of training capability and command posts, they were not addressed, and explanations given for those decreases. The other one is the issue of pay progression, which is a normal arrangement of 1.5 to 2% annually on the additional increases of salaries. What is actually the criteria for that pay progression? Either the general pay progression, or is it subject to strict criteria and performance-based issues? Just for our clarity, the one that also perturbs me but is the job creation one members have mentioned, and the alignment between the MSDS and the NYS. I see there's absolutely no allocation in terms of the ministerial priorities for the NYS, and there's still a policy or document outstanding on that matter. There's a reduction of the intake. And what other feeder options did the department actually contemplate? Because the feeder options besides these two and the reserves are not indicated at all. How did the department apply their mind to have a feeder system in place after reducing it so drastically over the entire MTF, and the NYS is not operational? Okay, the other ones, I'll deal with the other matters, Madam Chair, under the annual report. Or do we deal with both at the same time? Because the time is just, yeah. I'm just trying to deal with the budget specifically, but I've got a number of issues under the ABP as well.
Honourable Member, I will allow you to deal with that, so that if there are any answers that they can be done in writing.
Okay, I think the other indication was appointments and vacancies. I think there is an answer that is pending on that one, especially of critical post. And I think we touched on the problem in the H report of the internal audit specifically, and the skills within the internal audit, the head of the internal audit, and the staff of the internal audit that plays a very important role for supply chain management and also for compliance. The issues that I would like to have just an appraisal of, there's a number of policies and legislation indicated in the presentation and also in the budget vote, a number of policies, regulations, and frameworks that need to be completed for this year. Drafts have been done, but according to our committee reports, those drafts were not submitted to the committee for consideration. So I'd like to have just an appraisal of all the matters pending on policy, regulation, and frameworks, and of course amendments to legislation that needs to be done. I think there is an opportunity for me to deal with the other three matters under the AG's report. Thank you very much, madam.
Thank you, Honourable Issa. Honourable Maynard.
Thank you, Chair. The point that I was trying to make earlier was that my questions have not been answered. And I simply don't know how it is we are going to debate the budget votes on Thursday next week if we have so little information. Part of the fault, I think, lies with the department, but as I said before, part of the fault, I think, lies with Parliament. But nevertheless, let's get back to the VVIP capability. I don't accept that the department doesn't know how much it spent on the VVIP capability last year and doesn't know how much is budgeted for the VVIP capability this year. It's impossible. I wonder if you would reconsider your answer. And if indeed that's true, at least explain why the department required an extra appropriation of 169 million rand under the VVIP transport line item on page 29 of your document. What was the purpose of that additional request? Then I come to the whole question of expenditure in the ministry and the advertising campaign. I could not agree more with the Secretary of Defence when he argues that we need to make the public aware of what the Defence Force actually achieves. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Defence and the Joint Standing Committee of Defence. Not even I know what the Defence Force achieves, let alone the public. My suggestion, my proposal to the Secretary of Defence is ask the JOPS, General in Charge of the Joint Operations Command, to call a weekly press conference and tell us what the Defence Force achieved in the previous week. It would be a lot cheaper than a multimedia campaign. But again, Secretary, I cannot believe that the department does not know how much it spent on the multimedia campaign last year, and given the priority and the importance that the Secretary of Defence attaches to the program, has no idea how much we have budgeted for the program in the next financial year. It is impossible. We need those numbers, and we need those numbers now. Perhaps somebody could phone Pretoria and they could give us the numbers. Then let me come to the whole question of compensation of employees. My question was, how many surplus employees are there in the Department of Defense? My estimate is they're probably around 7,000. What is the number, and how much are those employees costing this department every year? Then finally, let me come to the special defense account. I understand that the special defense account is for the acquisition of Category A weapon system. My only question to you is, what weapon system? I'm expected to vote on next week on the defense budget vote. Part of that appropriation is 5.2 billion rand. How do I decide and advise my caucus on whether we should support or oppose the budget if I have no idea what this department will be purchasing under the Special Defence Account? So my question to the Secretary of Defence, what will we be spending the 5.2 billion rand on next year? Are you buying vehicles, aircraft, ships? What exactly are you spending the money on? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Maynard. Honourable Mlamba, I'm showing for last one.
Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. It's just a small question to Dr. Gamete. On this NYS, I understand for some time now we have been hearing this report of work in progress in terms of the police. And I think it's more than 18 months now. We should have, as a department, implemented this policy by now.
I never welcomed my young colleague there from the ISP, because I don't think he would have been here if this policy was implemented. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Sir Jeff, it's your time and give over to you.
Chair, sorry, there's one question I didn't ask. Could I
We were given time. Let us give the department, please. Then, if there are any other questions, I would advise the honourable members to write these questions and give to the department, because we are going to run out of time and we want the department to give us some answers. Thank you very much.
Chair,
over to you,
honourable
Secretary.
Chair,
honourable Magnus.
Chair, we've gone.
Honourable Magnus, I want the department to give us the answers. Let us give the department time to give us answers to the questions that we have asked. Honourable, sorry, department, it's your time to answer.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. I'm also going to just thank Honourable Mwang also for that comment where he commended us for working with the Department of Public Works for the migration of the defense-related public works activities from the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense. We would like to inform the members that it will not happen overnight because of the capacity that we need to build within the Department of Defense for the maintenance of our facilities to be maintained by ourselves, and that the minister has put as one of her priorities, where we will be meeting with the private sector, public works industry, or shall we call construction industry, to come up with ways and best ways and means of how to facilitate the upgrading of our facilities. I don't know whether I know that some of the information is not the information that we had carried into the room when we came in, so we will still be taking up Honorable Mayor's suggestion that we call Victoria to get some of these numbers, and that's what we are doing right now. But as much as possible, we are concerned about the morale, as it has been indicated, as well as the upgrading of the facilities. I'll ask the CFO to be looking at that and seeing how much information do we have available right now on our fingertips as far as the number of facilities that we'll be upgrading this year. In terms of the work of the defense intelligence, as well as the disposal of equipment, of military equipment, especially to other African countries, we would like to again reassure the members of the committee that this is done according to the South African law, as stipulated in the National Combat and Arms Control Act, and requiring the appropriate issuance of license for the disposal of such equipment. And one of the conditions for the issuance of such licenses is the assurance that there will be no deviation of the end user certificates. I think when we talk about such equipment falling in wrong hands, we are talking about the end users, and we require to sign an end user certificate and make sure that there will be no deviation from the people who are going to use the equipment. And our defense intelligence, as well as our state security agency and other DECO, international affairs, assist us in monitoring the equipment that has landed in areas where it has been sent, to ensure that there is no deviation in terms of the end user certificates, and that these equipment
not fall in wrong hands. It doesn't just apply to the equipment that is donated or disposed by the Department of Defense, but any equipment that is exported by our defense industry is subjected to very strict monitoring and evaluation in terms of ensuring that even they themselves do not send it to somebody else. In other words, you are the end user certificate, you can't now decide that, well, I've received it as Jordan, now I want to send it to Yemen without us here approving. That's how it's supposed to work. And thank you very much. And at least now I'm happy that we all agree that there is a need to inform the public about what the Department of Defense does. Where we differ now is how do we do it? Do we do it by press conference every week, which no one will come to and no one will report on? Because it's good news in South Africa, doesn't get reported. Or do we do it, and the content of such publicity information, is this information talking about the minister in her uniform or talking about what the defense force is doing? So I think we will allow that debate to continue until we come up with the best experts on communications, both from the honorable members and I think the IFP and the DA to assist us. How best do we publicize the work that I think we're ready to learn as a department. I don't know whether we will be, honorable chairperson, answering on the cases of tender irregularities right now, because we thought that we will cover that with the Auditor General's report when we convene next week. We were just looking at what we're going to do next year, and as well as the plans and the budget for next year. I will maybe at this point, before we continue, I will give to the HR if she is ready about the number of they can post. And when it comes to the military health services, is it understanding, is it savings? Once it has been allocated in this environment, we have to realize that most of the time we also have to allocate for the tertiary care of our women and men in uniform who are situated in areas that are far away from one military hospital, Pretoria, two military hospitals, Cape Town, and three military hospitals, Bloemfontein. And all the time, we try and come across savings in terms of, for instance, transportation of these patients when we have been able to use the military vehicles instead of using the service providers to transport them, depending on the emergency and the scheduling of clinics from time to time. In different facilities and in different bases. We allocate budget for that, and the units report back that they were able to save us, I think, more and more. They would be reported as savings if they were able to deliver the same results, but with less expenditure on it, depending on how efficient was brought into the system, which is really what we are striving for. As a secretariat, we are striving for the establishment of a very efficient and smart defense force that operates, reaching the targets with minimal, with limited expenditure that is available to us. So that's how it's going to come up as savings. It's not going to be understanding, because the function was the targets were achieved, but with less funds than it was initially thought. I will also address the issue of alignment of the National Youth Service as well as the military skills development and the feeder system. When we reviewed the budget for this budget,
that we have allocated. In the treasurer came back in November to us and basically cut off the budget that we have allocated to the NYS as well as the MSDS. So when you moving forward, because the treasurer said there will be no funds, the funds have been reduced for this NYS and MSDS. That's why now you're going to find that when we wanted to take 10,000, we have cut it down to 10,000. So that is purely budgetary, and we have to live with it. We couldn't talk about the numbers we wanted for the NYS as well as MSDS. We have to now live with what has been allocated to us. I think that's why you see the reductions. They were not voluntary reductions, I would like to assure the members. We didn't voluntarily choose this project to where it is. We just have to implement it with what we have. I think I might need some more time on the VVIP. Actually, I don't think I understood the question on the VVIP. What I was saying is that we will be able to report how much was spent on the VVIP capability for the financial year ending 2011-2012. I mean, part of our work, how much was spent. But in terms of how much we are budgeting, I can just answer the specific question. The additional amount was required simply because when the variable aircraft had to go for services, it became very clear that there is a requirement that we required two aircraft for that. This went to cabinet, approved, and stated about the required amount, and the amount was not available. So nothing has changed there. There is a requirement of a VVIP to be able to implement that capability, which we are still seeking funds for. And this issue is being addressed, of course, by the minister and her colleagues because of the sensitivity and the importance of this capability for the country. I think I will just ask now just the answer on the vacant capabilities. I mean, on vacant post. Yes, who's going to answer that?
Thank you, Secretary. At the end of the 2011-12 financial year, 95% of our funded vacant posts were filled, and this was as per instructions from the Commander in Chief State of the Meeting address. So it therefore means that also in terms of our HR management, we are reviewing our comprehensive HR strategy in order to ensure effective career management and also determine the appropriate exit point so that people do not come from 18 and then leave at 60, so that they use the various points in which we exit people. So we are fine-tuning that strategy so that we will then be able to exit people at various points. And then in terms of the morale, the morale in the Defence Force is high because of the salary improvements that have been put in place for salary levels 2 to 12. And again, the fact that we've also been able to implement the scarce skills allowance for our various scarce skills categories, this has resulted in these people no longer living as the Defence Force. There is actually a decline in the number of people with scarce skills who are leaving the Defence Force, which means the improvements that have been done in terms of the salary and the scarce skills are giving the desired results. And with regard to the question of members who are additional to the establishment, our method here is that as the vacant posts become available, we then consider them for placement in those vacant posts. So in essence, it means that the number indicated by the Honorable Menier is is not fixed, it varies, because as these vacant posts become very pressing, so we cannot say we have 7,000 people who are sick and numerous. This is how we are managing them. And then the other question on the not increment, whether we are just giving them without really assessment, the response to that is that the not increments are done based on assessment, performance assessment. We just do not give them a blanket not increase. Commanders at various levels do assess their troops, and based on those assessments, we are able to determine that those not increments. And the last question that has not been responded to is with regard to our feeder system for reserves. Yes, the number of MSDS that we are now recruiting per annum has increased. However, we are also doing well in terms of the recruitment of university graduates for the reserves. So we seriously think that that would help us in terms of building for the reserves. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to ask for the help of our Honorable Mayor about telling public what weapons we're going to buy. I think that will endanger the South African young women and men in uniform that we have deployed, for instance, along the border with Mozambique and Lesotho and those patrolling the Indian Ocean. If I start saying now, these are the weapons I'm going to buy, because they will then, you are telling the enemy, because remember, you are defending this against the people who are crossing the borders, harassing us and harassing our citizens and our farmers. Stop them, sometimes, of course, they were threatening their lives. If I start now telling you, or telling the public, not telling you, I mean, informing the public that, oh, by the way, this is how we're going to patrol, and these are the equipment we're going to buy, and they are going to be having so many of them, they're deployed around Kruger National Park, and so forth, because now you are telling them our strategy, and the success of our operations depends largely on the confidentiality of this. I'm requesting one of the mayor to work with them. But anyway, it does not, it shouldn't affect the oversight of the parliamentary oversight of the government and the executive authority. I think that's why you set up the structures that been established for the sharing of this information, where it is shared confidentially behind closed door. I think that's for the parliament. I mean, the parliament has set up the structures for sharing of such information in a confidential manner, rather than for me to stand up here informing all the pirates out there, the thieves and the people who want to threaten the security of this country, what I'm going to buy in order to defend this country. I really need some help.
Thank you, Septif. I'm sure. And I know that Honorable Minister knows very well the procedures. Now, Honorable Members, because of the time, Okay, as a veteran, I'm giving you that opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm not going to ask any questions. Many questions have been asked and answered, but some of us can never be really satisfied. I'm sure about my voice, can never be satisfied at all with whatever answers we get from our questions. We can sit here the whole day trying to answer questions, and they'll always tell you my question has not been answered. But I want to congratulate the department. Community chairperson, for the wonderful work they are doing with very, very limited resources. Very limited resources. They are doing very well. We are all talking of upgrading facilities. We talk of getting rid of obsolete equipment and so on and so forth. We talk of decent accommodation for our men and women in uniform. All those things need funds. We need money. We need funds from the treasury. We all talk of safeguarding South Africa, protecting ourselves, that the army should protect us. The army should protect the territory of South Africa. That's ourselves. How do they do that? Obviously, they've got to get more funds from the treasury. All of us, those in office, in opposition, I think it is our duty, comrades, all of us, to put pressure on the treasury every year when our budget votes to come forward. To put pressure on the treasury, we need more money for our own defense, for the defense of the country. I'm not apologetic personally in saying we need a very strong army, a very strong South African army. They are already saying South Africa is the strongest army in Africa. I'm not saying it's right, it's stronger than what they are saying. We need a strong army, Comrade Chairperson. We should not be apologetic about that. Not at all. How do we defend our territory if we don't equip our own army? We need to satisfy our men and women in uniform in order for their morale to be high. You don't increase their salaries. You don't provide them with decent accommodation and all other necessities. Obviously, their morale will go down. You can never, therefore, produce a fighting force out of them. We have got to satisfy our people in the force. And we can do that by providing them with all the necessary requirements, things that are required in the army, to give them morale, high morale, and equipment. This is all I want to say, Comrade Chairperson. Thank you very much. But I want to congratulate you, comrades, and the department for doing best out of limited resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Veteran.
Thank you very much. We hadn't finished answering all the questions. I'm now finishing. This is our last answer. We will then request that on the public.
Honorable members and the department, we are running out of time. I'm going to close now because in the next hour there will be a ETC in this venue. They want to prepare. I want to thank the department for the two presentations and the commitment that you have displayed by stretching out the little funds that you have. As we have already heard the veterans, Jadum Langeni, commenting on the work that we have done. We do see really a progress, but there are some questions that were being asked. So I would like the department and ask the department to do this in writing. And then if it's possible that we can get those written responses by Monday, because the members want to know some of the questions because they are going to prepare for the debate. And lastly, I also want to remind the department about the commitment that next week we will set this a meeting on the auditor general. So some of the questions are related to that. So would like also to have answers in those questions. Honorable members,
I'm sorry, Honorable, my name, I'm the chairperson, now I'm closing. It's not that I'm undermining you. I just want to say thank you very much for the time and for your cooperation. I want also, as members of this committee, to take note of what the Honorable Whip Mazia has explained to us about the committee program, that all inputs are welcome, so let us also make use of that opportunity, and so that we can all of us understand and do exactly what is expected from us, from this committee. Honorable members, thank you very much. The meeting adjourned.